want to welcome in Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports. Now, Joe, I'm asking the only question that matters for this season, and that is, will Penn State make the college football playoff this year? How you doing today, pal? What's your answer to that, man?
I'm doing great, Corey, and I want to apologize. When you called initially, I had my phone in my pocket, and I didn't hear that vibration that I usually do.
So see, that's a discussion. That's to me just as good of a discussion. I keep my phone on vibrate all the time. I don't want my phone ringing. Do you keep yours on vibrate all the time?
Yeah, I do. I really don't know why. I think I'm just used to having to have it that way in public, and that carries over to when I'm not in public. So it's probably just a habit.
I'm curious how many people go into that. My phone only rings if my wife calls. I have it set up to where it'll ring if my wife calls or my kids' school, like if they have to go to the nurse or something. Anybody else? I don't want my phone ringing and beeping all dadgum day whenever I get phone calls and texts.
Right, yeah, that totally makes sense. I'm the same way.
All right, so what do you think? You think Penn State makes the playoff this year, yes or no?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I'm going to say yes. And the main reason I'm saying yes, Corey, is I think the most common projection I'm seeing for Penn State is 11-1. And there's variations as to which team they're going to be. Because if they go 11-1, they're going to have to be one of Ohio State or Michigan. And I think a lot of people that have that record prediction kind of vary on which team they're going to beat. Some say, well, Penn State matches up better against Ohio State. C.J. Stroud's gone. There's nothing eye-popping about this team aside from Marvin Harrison in their receivers room compared to some of the Ohio State teams in the past. So some people like Penn State beating Ohio State in Columbus. And then you look at Michigan and say, well, yeah, Michigan's great. They're the top three team, obviously. Probably the favorite to win the Big Ten. But at the same time, they're going in to Happy Valley, and obviously we know what type of home field advantage Beaver Stadium has, so some people like Penn State in that game, mainly because of that home field advantage. I'm in the camp where I think Penn State's going to beat Michigan. It's probably more gut than anything. I think the fact that Penn State hasn't won in Columbus since 2011 and really hasn't won there much at all kind of makes me cautious about picking them to win in Columbus against what's still going to be a very good Ohio State team, even if it's not as good as some of the teams they've had in the past. But with Michigan going at home, I just feel a lot better, not a lot better, but marginally better about Penn State getting that win at home. And because of that, I see Michigan beating Ohio State in the game, that last game of the regular season, that big rivalry game. And basically what I see happening is kind of a reverse of 2016, right, where Penn State got into that last week, needed Ohio State to beat Michigan in the horseshoe. Obviously, that happened in dramatic fashion, and then Penn State beats Michigan State to clinch the Big Ten East. I think this year Penn State's going to find itself needing to beat Michigan State at Ford Field again and then needing Michigan to beat Ohio State in the Big House. And I don't see Ohio State going in, at least not right now, going in and beating Michigan, and I think Penn State is a better team than Michigan State and should get a win there. I see Penn State going 11-1. I think if they make the Big Ten championship game, they'll win it. And I see them making the Big Ten championship game because I think Michigan's going to beat Ohio State. Penn State's going to beat Michigan. So it's really up in the air. I don't know what's going to happen, and we're all excited to see it. But if I had to bet, I would say, yeah, I think they'll be in the playoffs.
Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. I don't think they make the playoffs. I've got them going 10-2, but everything else Joe said there is accurate. I just happen to think they'll lose to Michigan. But I will say this. I think the more winnable of the two games is Michigan. I'm not picking Penn State to go to Ohio State and win, like ever. Yeah, I mean, I know Ohio State's got a new quarterback, but that's been such a plug-and-play position for Ohio State forever. Kyle McCord was named the starter today over Devin Brown. I still expect them to be a dynamic offense, and that game is in Columbus. But here's the interesting element, okay, about how you build your program and who you are building your program in order to beat. This became a big topic of discussion last year when Penn State got steamrolled at the Big House 41-17 and gave up 400 yards rushing. Because James Franklin has done a pretty darn good job of building the Penn State program, the roster. I'm talking about the way they do things on offense, the way they do things on defense, building the roster to compete with Ohio State. Because Ohio State has been the king of the hill in the Big Ten for a long time. And Penn State has competed very well against Ohio State for a long time. But we've seen the pendulum swing now with Harbaugh getting it back going at Michigan. The big offensive line, the big running back, the huge, huge commitment to continuing to stay with the run. And that's where Penn State got in trouble last year. So I'll ask, and look, hey, that's where Ohio State had built its roster, Joe, to try to beat Alabama, Clemson, whatever, Georgia, on a national scene. And then all of a sudden, Ohio State can't beat Michigan anymore for the exact same reasons, because they're maybe not quite big enough. So James Franklin was asked today about the defensive line. He talked about Hakeem Beamon adding more weight. Hakeem Beamon was 264. Going into that Michigan game last year, a defensive tackle. Now he's 284. Much, much more difficult to run over a 284-pound guy as opposed to 264. So to me, what's fascinating about these three teams is how the programs have been built and how they match up against each other. Trying to beat an Ohio State and beat a Michigan, you kind of almost need two different philosophies and rosters to do that.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And you mentioned Hakeem Beamon. Obviously, we were both at last year's Michigan game. And after the game, Franklin had one of his more, I guess, famous quotes of the season, saying that everybody thinks they're Aaron Donald and they're not, talking about needing to get bigger on the offensive line. Obviously, Aaron Donald's the greatest defensive lineman, I think, ever. And spot of, If you weren't Aaron Donald, if you were anybody else, he'd be thought to be undersized.
And make no bones about it, James Franklin was talking about Hakeem Beamon there.
Yeah, and that's definitely because P.J. Mustipher had a lot of size to him, so Beeman's probably the one he would have been alluding to. But, yeah, with him gaining 20 pounds, and, yeah, talking about up front, Penn State, obviously, I think it's pretty deep. There aren't really a bunch of stars on that defensive line, but Franklin said there's seven guys at D-tackle that they feel good about, and he said that today, and he said at Media Day a few weeks back that Penn State has five guys at defensive end that they could win with. So you got to think that's 12 players, and maybe not all 12 of them will end up good, but some of them should be pretty good, right? If you have that quality of depth, you know, somebody's going to rise above us. So I think Penn State should be feeling better about its defensive line than it was last year. But, yeah, and talking about matching up with Ohio State and Michigan, it's kind of hard. I think this Penn State team theoretically could match up okay with pretty much anybody on the schedule. You have the defensive line, which we just talked about. You have the linebacker. Carter and Jacobs are both going to be fantastic, we think. And then the secondary, which is, I guess some people see that as a question mark, but I think with guys like Jalen Reed, Bakeem Wheatley being more experienced. Obviously, the quarterbacks are going to be just fine with Kalen King and Johnny Dixon. I don't think there's any worries there. And then I think there's room for unsung heroes like K.J. Winston and Cam Miller. Franklin spoke gushingly about Cam Miller at his presser today, saying that he wants the Miller family to have more kids. So that's a pretty interesting way of saying that he likes Cam as a football player. And then K.J. Winston's been turning heads really since he got to Penn State as a freshman, but just hasn't had a lot of reps in games yet. So, yeah, in matching up, I think they match up better with Ohio State, definitely. But I think with the way things are looking up, both in the front, in the back of that front seven, the linebacker, and then the safeties, defensively at least, I don't know. I don't think there's a really big gap matchup-wise between Penn State and Michigan or Ohio State.
Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. So he's got Penn State 11-1 and making the playoff, and you think they beat Michigan, right?
Yeah.
I've got them at 10-2. I think they lose both. I think the Ohio State game will be close for the most part. I think the Michigan game will come down to the wire. To me, just looking at Michigan on paper, I really liked J.J. McCarthy last year. I thought J.J. looked the part. He had better overall numbers and success than Sean Clifford. Go look at it. Go look at the College Football Metrics, J.J. McCarthy's, you know, rating and all these things were better than Sean Clifford's. And Sean Clifford was a fifth-round draft pick, and he's a backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers now, while J.J. McCarthy was a first-year starter. So, to me, I think J.J. McCarthy puts Michigan in a little bit of a different conversation because they're not just going to be the running team that's going to run down your throat every play. However, the one issue I can say there is, what do they want their identity to be, Joe? You knew Michigan's identity. They were going to line up, and they were going to pound it at you no matter what. So even if J.J. McCarthy is good, does J.J. McCarthy throwing it more and them trying to do more in the passing game, does that bring Michigan more back to what Penn State is accustomed to trying to go against with Ohio State? Are you connecting the dots with me there? Because, again, Penn State has been built to stop what Ohio State does. They haven't been built to stop what Michigan does. But if Michigan changes its colors a little bit and they become more pass happy like they did ridiculously in the national semifinal against TCU, if they start to become that, then I think Jim Harbaugh is outthinking himself, and I think that ends up bringing Michigan back more to what Ohio State or Penn State is used to being able to stop.
Yeah, I'm definitely following that, and I think that's a great point because Michigan has built its identity as a great running team partially because they haven't had a quarterback that's been better than a game manager.
Correct.
2 years ago, for example, when Michigan rose from people wanting Jim Harbaugh, well, maybe not that many people wanted him fired, but a lot of people, I think, before 2021 saw Jim Harbaugh as a big underachiever, and Michigan kind of rose out of that because of the running game, and I think part of the reason that they became so running heavy, obviously Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, and before that Hassan Haskins were really good, but Cade McNamara wasn't all that good, so Michigan didn't really have a choice as what to center that offense around. Now, I agree, I think J.J. McCarthy is legit, but with that, it's probably a good problem to have for Michigan, but at the same time, the more you're doing something that's different from what kind of propelled you, at least offensively, to back-to-back Big Ten championships and college football playoff appearances. As you mentioned, Corey, that gives Harbaugh kind of a chance to overthink himself a bit. And that's something that, looking down the road, could play into the advantage of a Penn State, of an Ohio State, of any big game they're in, because they could be getting away from what they've been doing so well. So, I definitely follow you on that, but kind of looking at how Jim Harbaugh's ran his teams, I feel like Harbaugh coach teams have always been kind of ground and pound, going back to Stanford with Toby Gerhardt and in the NFL, those 49er teams that were winners. They were known, I think, as the run first team with Alex Smith, the game manager quarterback. But that definitely J.J. McCarthy's ability in that being greater than last year's version of J.J. McCarthy and then of Cade McNamara, that could lead to more options for Michigan, but more options could also lead to more mistakes.
The easy answer to this is week 3 against Illinois on the road. What is the biggest question mark that Penn State faces outside of Ohio State and Michigan?
Oof. You're right. Illinois is the easy answer. But taking Illinois out of the equation, I guess you'll say Maryland late in the season. I feel like if Maryland and Penn State were playing in September or maybe early October, that would make things a little more interesting because Maryland the past 2 years has been a very good early season team. But once the Big Ten's play has kicked in, they've kind of fallen off, I think. Playing in November with Penn State being in midseason form, even though the game is on the road, it's kind of practically half a home game for Penn State because we've opened to Maryland. We've seen how Penn State fans travel. But at the same time, Tagovailoa, I think, is very good, and he's entering his fourth year as starting quarterback. It feels like he's been there forever. And they have some good weapons around him. If they've improved on the offensive line, that can make things interesting. But it's after watching last year's Penn State-Maryland game, just a 30-0 demolition in Happy Valley, that was only that close because Franklin and company called out the Dogs in the second half. But yeah, I think Maryland, you'll believe that they're better than a 7-5, 7-6 team when you see it, but they're just talented enough to where thinking about that game is a little interesting. So aside from Illinois, I'd probably say Maryland could be that type of game that sneaks up on them.
It could be, and you're right about all of that. They do have some talent. I just think they fold under the physical pressure of Penn State. We've seen it time and time again. All the things Maryland does well are the things that Penn State can basically stop by sheer willpower and better athletes. And that's what, I mean, we've seen some games get way out of hand. When we thought Maryland was halfway decent, I'll look at the Illinois game in week three. Not that I think Illinois is going to be great. I think they went 7-5, 8-5 last year. But I do know Brett Bielema and his track record well enough to know that he's going to come out and he's going to show something to Drew Aller, and he's going to have his defense hit Drew Aller and come after Drew Aller. Now, I could still see Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen, maybe the tight ends. I could see Penn State's offense having a good day in some other ways. But he's going to give Drew Aller something different to look at, and I could see that being a little bit of a lower-scoring game. Penn State's defense should be able to keep them in any game against anybody. I think a score I threw out not long ago was like 27-20 Penn State. I'm not sure Illinois even gets to 20, but I could see 24-17 Penn State. Just a little bit of a lower-scoring game, but at least a challenge in the fourth quarter there.
Yeah, and I think another factor, Corey, is the game being a big noon kickoff, which means I believe Illinois is in a time zone difference, so that game will really be
it is, so 11 a.m. local time, yeah.
Yeah, and that I think people think about that and see it as kind of a disadvantage for the away team, but that could also help Penn State in a weird way because, you know, when you're a home team and you want to get jazzed up and play in front of the crowd and there's a lot of fans, you know, still filing in from tailgating by the time kickoff starts and, you know, there's some sections empty. I don't know how much that affects, but I think seeing that could negatively affect the home team too. So I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out and how it would affect both teams. Yeah, I think Illinois is going to be an interesting game. One Penn State should win, but Brett Bielema and my coach teams have done very well in a lot of areas in the past. So
here's the last thing for you, Joe. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports. Now you've got them going 11-1. We've hashed out over all the possibilities. It's going to come down to most likely you got to beat Ohio State or Michigan. James Franklin has generally struggled in big games. He's 1-8 against Ohio State. He's 3-6 against Michigan. So the question du jour is, is it 11-1 or bust? Do they have to go 11-1, Joe, for this to be a successful season? Because if they go 10-2 and they lose to the two teams that they always struggle with, I mean, I'm looking over, Iowa's ranked 25th now. Last year, Penn State went 10-2 and did not beat a single ranked team. They could conceivably go 10-2 again this year and not beat a ranked team. So it'd be a very hollow 10-2. So given all those parameters, is it 11-1 or bust? If they go 10-2, is this a hugely disappointing year?
Disappointing, yes. But I feel like there's a difference between disappointment and bust a little bit. I think that's a good example of disappointment would be the 2017 season. I think going back, Penn State, that was probably the last time Penn State went into a season with this much fanfare. And there were a lot of good things that happened. That big whiteout win against Michigan, winning the Fiesta Bowl, going 11-2 for the second year in a row while the program was still kind of building itself from the sanctions. But at the same time, that loss at Ohio State where they coughed up a 16-point lead, I think that's still something that this program hasn't fully recovered from yet. I think losing to Michigan State, an inferior Michigan State team on a last-second field goal, that was very hard. And, you know, when you go 10-2, but both of your losses are by a combined 4 points, and you're one play from either of those games from being 12-0 and going to the Big Ten Championship and playing for the college football playoff. Yeah, it's hard to say that year wasn't a disappointment to an extent. So I think it would be a disappointment. A bust, a failure, though, that would have to kind of depend on how things play out. If they lose two games to, we'll just say Ohio State and Michigan, because that's in theory, the most likely outcome. You lose two games to them, and you either get your doors blown off or you blow leads, then, yeah, that's going to hurt a lot. But there's, you know, a lot of things that could happen in the season that would kind of change views of records, whatever it be. They might go 10-2 despite a lot of injuries. They might go 10-2 despite other distractions. Who knows? But, yeah, I think that the word you used, hollow, that, I think that'd be an appropriate way to describe it. I think I don't know if it'd be considered a total bust, winning less than 11 games in the regular season, but it's hard to say it wouldn't be a disappointment because, man, the expectations are sky high for this team and have been since beating Utah in the Rose Bowl in January.
Hey, enjoy the discussion. We'll catch up with Joe a good bit throughout the year. You can catch him, Joe Smeltzer, at Nittany Sports Now. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you.
All right, good stuff there, Joe.